PM board bombs.
And we're back.
We're back.
With another EM rapid bomb. No, this isn't rapid bombs. This is EM board bombs. Sorry, I skipped our premium podcast already, but we'll get into that later. Hey, Briggs. I'm joined by Dr. Blake Briggs. I should introduce ourselves.
Yes, Dr. Have you had coffee this morning? Are you awake?
Hey, it's Ramadan right now. There's no coffee.
That's true.
There's no caffeine infusing through these vessels. It's day
Well, until 18. Sunset. Until sunset.
Until sunset. I still have a ways to go, my friend. Still have a ways to go. Hey, we've got a really cool topic because this stem that I'm giving is literally the stem, like it's a patient scenario that I had. So this isn't even
made some up, key differences is different.
Age and things like that. Changed, right? So, all right. A 33-year-old male presents to your ED with the chief complaint of a spider bite. You assume the patient will be showing you an abscess that has formed, and you'll hear the usual, "Doc, this was a spider bite, and now look what's happened over the last week." When you go into the room, the patient's complaining of significant right upper arm pain and spasms. You examine the right arm, and you are unable to appreciate any bites or any signs of abnormalities. He insists that he was bitten by a black widow multiple times. Other than slight tachycardia, his vital signs are within normal limits. While you're examining him, he's extremely uncomfortable. He's massaging his right arm over and over again. When you ask him, "Hey, are you sure that this was a black widow bite?" Because you don't see any signs of bites or anything like that. His response is, "Doc, I can prove it." And he tells you to look at the mason jar right next to where your right arm is leaning while you're talking to the patient. When you look at this mason jar, there's a huge black widow staring right at you, right next to your hand.
And there's no lid on the mason jar. Right.
After nearly yelling, "Oh," I did actually yell the end of
the
that.
The word.
You recall how to manage black widow toxicity, and you jump into action.
And you call
the following would be appropriate, right? The following would be appropriate next steps for this patient. Except. It's the dreaded except. Mm-hmm. So the following are appropriate except. Yep. A, tetanus. Prophylaxis.
I was about to say, don't give him tetanus. All right, next.
IV fluids and NSAIDs. C, IV benzodiazepines, or D, antivenom. What's the correct answer, Dr. Briggs?
The correct answer here is choice D, antivenom.
So you're not giving them antivenom.
Not putting them way into debt than they already are, potentially.
Or causing anaphylaxis, but we'll get into that later.
Yes, we'll get into that. All the problems with antivenom.
Right. Yeah.
So, hey, black widow is really interesting. But first, we got to talk about EM rapid bombs.
Oh yeah. EM rapid bombs, boards, life, ITE stuff. Mm-hmm. Look, they're 3 to 4 minute long episodes, high yield. More than 400 episodes now. It's pretty nuts. More than 400 episodes on EM rapid bombs. Can't believe that catalog has gotten so large. It's easy to listen to. You can knock out a couple episodes on your way to shift or on your way home from shift or while you're walking your dog, as we're oftentimes told by people.
Yes.
Also, we got to give a shout out to EM News, emnews.com.
Our only sponsor.
Only sponsor.
Check them out.
That's it. Yeah, check them out. They're great. A lot of great content. It's free if you're an EM provider. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get into this. So black widows, they actually exist on almost every continent, but they thrive in warmer areas. You're going to find them in firewood, garages, gardening equipment, outdoor furniture. And your exposure time is usually going to be in the spring and into the summer. It's not really going to be in the winter time. Once patients are bitten, their symptoms present within a few hours. And knowing the activity that the patient was doing, I think, is key, because sometimes they don't necessarily present or know that they were bit by a black widow. Almost always, it's going to be an extremity that's affected first. And the first symptom is going to be severe muscle spasms and cramping. They can have tachycardia with this, even hypertension and tachypnea from all the pain that they're experiencing.
Right.
But I'm talking more about localized stuff. Briggs, get into when this becomes more of a problem.
The problem is when it really starts to affect the patient systemically. And so that's going to be when it spreads from the side of the bite and it goes to like the abdominal wall or the trunk in general or all extremities, and you have diffuse muscle rigidity, cramping, vomiting, nausea, abdominal tenderness. And these patients can even have like peritonitis, like the rigid abdomen. They're complaining of abdominal pain. This is a lot worse of a presentation than hyperemesis, Cannaboid syndrome. I'm being serious, because those patients that come in, they have abdominal cramping. They have that kind of writhing, pain. I'm not saying they're dramatic, but they're often very expressive in their pain complaints.
Expressive.
Did you like that? And that was very professional. Thank you very much. And these patients, I could work for the UN now, I'm so diplomatic. These patients will present much worse than that. Just imagine that. So on a higher scale than what you're used to seeing for patients that are having the hyperemesis cannabinoid syndrome with that abdominal cramping, this is much more severe. And it usually has started localized and it spreads. Now, this is also just such a rare thing. There's so many people listening to this podcast that did not have the situation like you had, that have not taken care of these patients with a black widow spider bite. Usually, one, the bite is, doesn't have any venom. It's just a bite from some spider or whatever. Then they get the, some of the nurses I work with call it, the MRSA spider.
I know. And that's why I set up that stem. Because pretty much every time we see the chief complaint of spider bite, what are we thinking when we go in? It's just like,
exactly.
Let's get the scalpel ready.
Yeah, and that's only like 95% of the time patients will have minor to moderate symptoms, just localized symptoms, not even the muscle kind of cramping symptoms. You're just having pain and an infection. Yeah. But when it comes to management, there are some key things, and the answer choices thankfully cover all of those key things except for the one most like obvious, straightforward thing that anyone would want to pick outside of the medical world, which is unfortunately incorrect.
And I'm gonna take you a step back too, because think that 95% of the time patients presenting with really minor or moderate symptoms, that's great, but few times you're gonna have patients with that abdominal cramping. One other thing to add there is that pediatric population.
Oh sure, yeah.
So black widow bite is in that differential for the unexplained pediatric abdominal pain that's showing signs of peritonitis and vital sign abnormalities. So that is something to kind of tuck away and have in the back of your head, is that pediatric patient with signs of peritonitis, severe abdominal pain, absolutely no other explanation, all other causes have been ruled out, is to have a black widow spider bite there. And some of those high risk populations are pediatrics, because we're going to be talking about symptomatic management and anti-venom here, but those high-risk populations are pediatric patients, elderly patients, and pregnant patients as well. And get into some of those treatment modalities, Briggs.
Pretty straightforward, what you would expect here. Of course, you're going to give some tetanus prophylaxis, as we always like to give to anyone, and you're going to do your standard wound care therapy, of course, clean, wash the wound, whatever, scrub it. And then it kind of gets really standard from there. You're thinking muscle spasm to a severe degree level. And so we're thinking NSAIDs first, the cornerstone, anti-inflammatory, anti-muscle pain. They work better than muscle relaxers for actual muscle relaxation. So fantastic. Use your Toradol, use your
ibuprofen. So you're telling me you don't have to do IV Dilaudid right away.
Exactly right. It is incredible. Dr. Hussein and I have talked about this several times, how we love Toradol so much so many different patients. Of course, there's small contraindications, but not as many as you'd think. And it's a really fantastic medication, probably in this case, to start off with, IV Toradol.
We have a nerdy population that listens to us. We include ourselves as those nerds. I know right now they're saying, Toradol is the same as ibuprofen. What are you guys?
Yeah.
Come on. We all know.
We all know.
We all know. It's
a difference.
It's a little different.
We all know. As an attending at Wake Forest one time, like it's all about window dressing. Anyway, so it's reasonable to use IV benzodiazepines or even opioids if you're escalating for these severe cramps. Yeah, preferable right. benzodiazepines because it's actually going to get some muscle relaxer. But one thing we'll say here, please, both for real life and for the test, don't give muscle relaxers in the ED at least. They're just not going to do anything. You're giving the NSAIDs, they actually are effective. Then you're giving benzodiazepine, which is actually written for the standard treatment of muscle cramps of a black widow spider bite. Don't pick muscle relaxers on the test. They clearly are not mentioning that. That's not the standard therapy. It's not going to be as potent. And it's just not going to work. We all know muscle relaxers are kind of, So, Exactly. And then opioids are reserved for severe pain. Cool. So why don't you get into this antivenom? Because you did a deep dive on the internet about this. Yes. Deep dive.
By deep dive, remember, this is EM Board Bombs.
Yes, so we did a simple Google search. You know,
where there might have been one paper that I looked at.
From 1988.
Oh, it's more recent than that. Okay. So look, antivenom, it's only indicated when they're going to be severe systemic symptoms like we talked about. And conservative measures have failed.
Yep.
So why is that? Black widow antivenom, it's been associated with anaphylaxis reactions due to it being derived from horse serum. It's only going to be reserved, again, in those severe systemic cases where conservative management is not working. Mm-hmm. Another downstream issue associated with black widow antivenom is serum sickness. So obviously, in the real world, you're going to be having a discussion with your toxicologist before you're administering a black widow antivenom, obviously, right? But there are a couple different ways you're going to be asked on the test about black widow spider bites, and one of those is going to be related to antivenom. Hey, let's just get into that real quick. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be asked how to manage it, right? And how to manage it is you're going to start with conservative therapy. That's key. We talked about the mainstays of conservative therapy, IV fluids, NSAIDs, ice packs, IV benzodiazepines, even IV opioids if you need it.
Also, we're not sponsored by Toradol, I should mention.
Unfortunately. We might take them as a sponsor, honestly. It'd be great. I would be totally open to it. Yeah. We could bend our rule for them because they're so great. Now, that's conservative kind of therapy, right?
Yeah.
Now, when to give antivenom. Right, we talked about that. Conservative therapy has failed. So they'll, on the question choice and step, they'll mention, hey, conservative therapy has been tried. A patient is still having severe symptoms. Oftentimes, the symptom they like to use is going to be peritonitis and vital sign abnormalities. That is an indication to give antivenom. Mm-hmm. They will expect you to know some of the side effects associated with antivenom because they are kind of unique here, which is anaphylaxis and also downstream serum sickness as well. So those are really the three ways that you could be asked this on the test. Really no other way.
No. That's very it. Limited amount of ways.
Yeah, that's it.
Also watch out for MRSA.
And watch out for MRSA. Briggs, I'm shocked that we have not done Black Widow yet.
Yeah, me too. Seems very simple. Yeah. But now we have.
We have.
I have nothing else to say. This was pretty straightforward.
It was pretty straightforward. I hope people received high-yield knowledge, felt satiated from a medical knowledge standpoint.
This was more of an appetizer to me.
Right now, I'm not thinking about food, so thank you very much. But maybe that's why I said satiated.
Remember that time we had that really good meal at that last conference?
We had some great meals and conferences.
We have. Let's wrap this up.
Briggs, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. See you later.
See you, man.